You're listening to the WP Tonic, WordPress and Tech, focused on building a successful business in WordPress aimed at the WordPress professional and power user. Join Jonathan Denwood and Kurt Von Annen as your host and co-host as we bring you great discussions from around the globe.
Welcome back, folks, to the WP Tonic Show. This is episode 941. We've got a fabulous guest with us. We've got Chris Mazes with us, founder of Bloon Partners. Basically, they consult agencies. They help you with your agency problems. And if you're looking to sell your agency, they can consult with that, I think. Chris has got a ton of knowledge. He's run a few agencies himself. And he's been in this particular sector for a number of years. It should be a fabulous show. So, Chris, would you like to give the tribe a quick 20, 30 second intro about yourself, Chris?
Sure. My name is Chris Martinez. I am a local of Los Angeles, California. Spent about 5 years living in Tijuana, Mexico. I'm one of the first people to ever build a team for your marketing agency down in Mexico. Tijuana, Mexico, if you've never been there before, it's known as the most dangerous city in the world. I can tell you it is absolutely the most dangerous city in the world right now. It wasn't when I first got there, but glad to be back stateside here in San Diego.
Yes, that's fabulous. And I got my great co-host, Kurt. Kurt, would you like to introduce yourself to the new listeners and viewers?
Yeah, Kurt Von Annen with Mañana No Más. We focus largely on membership and learning type websites. And I also work directly with the folks at WP Tonic and Lifter LMS.
And like I say, in this great interview, we're going to be discussing with Chris how he got into the agency and agency consultation world, what are some of the biggest challenges agencies are facing, how they can deal with these challenges, and what are some of the opportunities. It should be a fantastic discussion. But before we go into the meat and potatoes of this show, I've got a message from one of our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hi there, e-commerce store owner. At Omnisend, we help more than 100,000 e-commerce customers just like you sell their products. We're an all-in-one email and SMS marketing platform that helps you reach your customers, grow your audience, and increase sales. In fact, our customers have seen incredible results with Omnisend, averaging $72 in revenue for every single dollar spent. And if you ever have a question, our award-winning customer support team is available 24/7 every single day. That's one of the reasons we have more than 6,000 glowing reviews and ratings all across the web. So get started with Omnisend today and start growing your business with better email and SMS marketing.
And coming back, folks, I also want to point out that we've got a fabulous free resource for all you freelancers and agency owners. We've got a curated list of the best WordPress plugins and special offers from our major sponsors. To get all these free goodies, and I know you like your free goodies, all you have to do is go over to wp-tonic.com/partners. Deals. It's wp-tonic.com/deals. I had a bit of a brain fart there. It's early. I haven't had enough coffee so far, tribe, but there we go. So, Chris, so like I said in the intro, how did you get, first of all, into the agency world and then you pivoted to consulting agencies? Maybe you can give us some background info.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, like most of us, I went to university for marketing agencies, and then here I am. No, I'm just kidding. I actually didn't like anything to do with the internet. Sounds crazy.
I don't either, Chris.
This is back in 2007. I'll start the story there. So in 2007, my dad died of cancer, and then I decided I wanted to start a soccer magazine. Or in the UK, you would call it football. So I started the soccer magazine. It failed miserably. It was a print. It was a local print soccer magazine way back in 2007. Same year that David Beckham started in MLS. Anyways, that magazine failed miserably. I lost all my money and then some, and had to figure out how to pick up the pieces of my life, so to speak. And fast forward a couple years after the magazine had failed and I had an idea. I was like, I need to build a website. I didn't have any money. A friend of mine said, hey, go figure out this WordPress thing. And I was like, WordPress, websites, I don't want to do it. Why don't you just help me do it? And he's like, no, figure it out on your own. And I was very, very angry with him at the time, but it ended up being the greatest advice. And over the course of the weekend, and 1,000 calls to HostGator, I built my first WordPress website.
Surprise, you ever recovered from that experience.
Well, I'm very stubborn. I don't give up. And so I was determined to figure this thing out, right? And so that eventually led to me building more websites and learning about how to drive traffic. And at one point in time, Russell Brunson had a coaching program called .com Secrets, and I hired them to teach me about how to drive traffic, paying them $500 a month. And I was broke, right? That led to my first job working in digital marketing. I worked for a company called Reach Local. If you guys remember them, they did PPC management. And I was a salesperson for them. And that's when I got the idea for my agency in 2012. And I partnered with two guys, actually. We had a little team in the Philippines. And we were just cranking out websites, doing content, building the agency. And eventually, 2015, I had moved from LA to San Diego. And I was like, you know what? I'm sick and tired of staying up till 2 o'clock in the morning talking with the Philippines team and then still not doing things right. And I said, I wonder if I can find the team down in Mexico. You know, like Tijuana is only 20 minutes away. I bet you I could find people down there. And back then it was very, very difficult to find talent. Like Indeed didn't have a presence there. Most people, they knew web development, but they didn't know WordPress. And this is one of those weird things that at that time, nobody knew WordPress. And so I went down there, I set up a company, I ended up hiring a team. We grew my agency. We ended up having over 200 and something clients on retainer with this little team in Mexico. Now, one of my superpowers has always been operations and systems and processes. And so we were very, very efficient. So I kept telling friends like, hey, why don't you set up a team down in Mexico? Nobody would do it. So I got the idea, let's set up an outsourcing company. We grew that outsourcing company. We had hundreds of employees, millions and millions in revenue. I launched that company. It was called dudeagency.io. We ran that from 2017 up until earlier this year. Now, what happened? 2022-ish, our clients started asking us how to solve other problems other than just outsourcing. You know, like, how are you guys training these people? They're amazing. Like, I want to learn that and apply it to my agency and all my team members. How are you so efficient with your processes because you bang stuff out so fast for us? Can you teach me how to do that? How can I be more profitable? And we ended up getting a client that came to us and said, hey, I don't want to pay you at all for the outsourcing stuff. I just want you to consult me and show me how to run my business more effectively. I'll pay you $5,000 a month. It's like, okay, cool. Let's do this. And then that ended up growing and we started improving the product and we're like, hey, this outsourcing piece, one, I don't personally think that business model, the way that we were running it, is going to be around that much longer. There's just really no need. But two, the bigger problems that we can solve, right? What if we help these agencies that are doing pretty well, you know, 7 figures in revenue, not very profitable. We help them improve some of these, what we call simple fixes, get them growing, get them scaling, profitability goes up, and we help them to do the exit. And actually now we're actually taking equity with a lot of our clients as well. So we can be a part of that growth and that big exit. And that's when we launched Bloom in July. So that was the fastest way that I could tell that story. I think I came in under a couple minutes or a few minutes.
Oh, you did fabulous. Fabulous. Over to you, Kurt.
Yeah, there was a ton of content in that answer, Chris. It's mind-boggling to some that run agencies that would go, okay, so let me get this straight. He did this. And I like the part that you pointed out, you know, like operations being your superpower. Mm-hmm. That seems to be what I'm seeing with other agencies that I might intertwine with or do projects with, is that they're getting lost in they might be good at talking to people or getting a client, but they seem to be lost in the processing of the tasks or the work that goes in the client work. The question really is, what are some of the biggest challenges that agencies face? And I feel like I'm front loading the question with my own opinion. So I'll just let you answer that question. What are some of the biggest challenges that these agencies are seeing?
100% what you just recognized, right? So when I look at the typical agency owner, especially one that's gotten the business to, let's just say $1 million in revenue, right? They're typically, they were really good at sales, they're really good at marketing, or they're really good at technology. It's usually a combination or one of those three. And so you're growing this business. And like most of us, we kind of start out as a freelancer and somebody gives us a project. We're like, okay, that's cool. We can do that. And then we did a good job and that turns into a referral. And then eventually you're like, okay, well, I need to hire a contractor because there's just so much work, right? Nobody ever taught you how to hire somebody or train somebody or manage product. You kind of just figure it out over time, blood, sweat, and tears type of thing. And then before you know it, because you were so good at getting results for clients and usually decently good at selling, now you have this business, but you can't get to the next level. So like most of the clients that come to us, they're doing decent revenue. Profitability is usually in that 10% range, but man, those agencies are working really hard. The agency owners are working really hard. You know, 60, 70 hours a week. They feel like they can't leave the business, otherwise it's going to fall apart, right? And the reality is that it's not rocket science. It's just that you don't know how to run the business effectively. You're so accustomed to running it. So you're essentially the centerpiece of this business, which you had to do, right? You had to do that for a number of years. Now we have to retrain you essentially and show you these skills. And like one of the simple things is like, we got to start building out a leadership team. We got to put people in place who are qualified and know how to report back to you to prove to you that the business is running smoothly, right? You got to find the right people. You got to show them exactly what they need to do. We got to be able to hold them accountable to doing their job. I'm going to use an American football reference. I equate it from going from peewee football or like playground football, where we're just running around like chickens with our head cut off. And one minute you're the quarterback and the next minute you're wide receiver. And like everybody's just having fun, to being in the NFL, where now there's structure and you have great players, right? And we have coaches and we have plays, right? And then we have the head office who's making the decisions and saying, hey, I need this person to do this, right? If this person scores 9 touchdowns this season, I'm going to give them $1 million signing bonus. And what's funny is that we always focus on the signing bonus that the player is getting, but nobody ever thinks about how much money do you think the organization is making when that person scores 9 touchdowns? They gave them $1 million. They probably made $100 million.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's where we need to get to as agency owners. We need to evolve our skills and become better at running the business. And that's essentially where my team comes in and does that, right? I say that a lot of the times we have to drag our agency owners kicking and screaming across the finish line. We are not the types of people that are going to tell you you're a special snowflake and that everything's rosy, right? Like we are that tough coach that's going to tell you like, hey, this is wrong. This is not right. You need to man up and let's get to work, right? And I'm going to be there every step of the way, but you can't keep doing things the way that you've been doing them. If this is truly what you want, if you want to be able to sell your business for 5 million, 6 million, 10 million. I met a guy last week who sold his agency for $32 million, right? If that's the life that you want, these are the things that we need to do.
So your answer led to a question that was in my head and I wasn't sure if I was going to ask it or not, but now I'm going to, Chris.
Ask it, dude. I'm an open book.
How much or what percentage or however you want to phrase the answer, but some of the work is skills-based, mm-hmm. and I bet you a lot of the work is mindset-based. How much of this is mindset-based where you're just really having to beat on the client and go, look, get over this imposter syndrome. We've got something to build here.
I'm going to give you the truthful answer. It's 80% mindset. It's 80%. It's when you decide that that's something that you're willing to invest in or that you're willing to reinvent yourself on, then we can get it done. But so many of us have programmed things in our brains, consciously, subconsciously, that prevents us from getting forward, right? The imposter syndrome that you just mentioned, right? Everybody has that.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody that doesn't have that. Some of us have just figured out a system to get through that.
Well, you think of the freelancer that's building websites for, you know, $500 a site to compete with someone's, you know, nephew, right? And then that click in the brain that goes off that goes, wait, I can get $1,500 for this. Then I can get $5,000 for this. And then I could add a couple of features and sell this for $15,000. And those are all mindset jumps. They're not really they're not really skills or technical knowledge jumps. They're small growth patterns with huge leaps of mental awareness.
Absolutely. Here's like a crazy like thought. Whatever you think is the most that you could ever sell a website for, somebody looks at that and says, I would never do it for that cheap.
Yep.
They're out there. You're like, oh my God, if I could get $1 million for a website, that'd be amazing. There's somebody out there that's like, I would not even talk to somebody if their budget was only $1 million.
I remember when the Affordable Care Act came out and they came out with that $93 million, you know, marketplace site. And I told my wife, I said, you're done. We're done at this level. We got to go.
What a nightmare. $93 million and it didn't work, right? It's crazy.
Sorry. I was going to pass to Jonathan, but go ahead.
Pass away.
Jonathan, it's up to you.
Yeah, Chris, we have a lot of listeners and viewers of the show that I think are slightly lesser than the 1 million. I sense they're between the 200 to half a million range by the conversations. Have you got any insights, any actionable? I know it's a difficult question, but I'm all about specifics here. Have you got any advice about how somebody that's got what I call a micro agency?
Yeah, sure.
That's in this 200 to half a million, how they actively in a 1 year, maybe 2 year period, get closer to that 1 million mark?
Yeah. So first of all, keep in mind, I came from nothing, like literally nothing. I had less than nothing in my bank account when I started my marketing agency.
Well, if you're a WordPress agency, that's something that regularly happens, Chris.
Yeah. So maybe the first step, stop calling yourself a WordPress agency. I'm going to drop some of my truth bombs on you guys. So first of all, if you are not building a marketing agency that you can sell one day, you are absolutely wasting your time. Okay. This business is so unbelievably difficult and it changes all the time. One day you will wake up and not want to do this anymore. Or worst case scenario, like my dad, you could get pancreatic cancer and be dead in a month, right? These are realities. And so you need to be building your business from today so that it's an asset, so that it could be sold one day, right? Start with that end in mind. Hey, I want to be able to sell this. And whether that dream of yours is to sell it for $250,000 or $250 million, it does not matter. You need to have that end goal in mind. I will tell you something. In the United States, the government is going to take like 40% of whatever you sell it for, right? So just keep that in mind. Plus, you're going to sign a non-compete and you won't be able to work in this business for anywhere from on the low, low end, a year, but most likely it's going to be 3 to 5 years. So whatever you sell that business for, 60% of that is going to go in your pocket. 40% of that is going to go to the government. Also, if you pay a broker, right, that's going to be anywhere from 5 to 10% plus lawyer fees and all that stuff. You're also going to get an earnout too. So a lot of the times you're not going to get all that cash up front. So, and then after all of that is said and done, you're not going to be able to work in this industry that you've been working in, most of us, for like over a decade, for the next 3 to 5 years. The main source that you like of income for you is going to be gone for the next 3 to 5 years. And when you come back, it's probably going to be very, very different. So just take that into consideration that the number that you need is typically going to be bigger than what you think it is, right? The next thing is niching, right? So I think all of us have heard the riches are in the niches. Right. So find a niche and really focus on the problems that you're solving. One of the things that drives me crazy about our industry and that really, really frustrates me is that the number of scammers that have come in and legitimately ripped people off have driven the reputation of our business into the.
I'm not trying to be funny, but is there only of them in there?
The majority of them. And unfortunately, The clients, the small business owners, can't tell the difference. So they loop us all together and they say, well, I tried this kid and I paid him thousands of dollars and I didn't get anything. And that's why I can't trust you, Kurt, right? Because you're just like one of them. That's what the client.
Oh, you can trust Kirk. It's me that he's
Okay, John, we can't trust you. This is just
that we've. I trust Kurt. Whether I trust myself, actually, Chris.
Yes. So this is the challenge that we face, and you know, we can point the finger at everybody else, but to some extent we have to turn around and point the finger back at us because we didn't stand up to it. Enough is enough, guys. Like, if you guys are with me, we need to repair the reputation of our industry and start focusing on client results. So if you're out there listening right now, you need to take a stand with us and say, we're going to put the customer first and make sure that we get that client results. Don't sell stuff that you can't actually deliver on. It's unethical, right?
Yeah.
Any other industry, it doesn't fly.
Yeah, right? I do agree with you, but the only thing I would say to you is this doesn't apply. It's not a 100% scenario, but there is a lot of clients that just want you to tell them what they want to hear. I resist it. I'm still resisting it. I was consulting with a possible client yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really very evident that she was very resistant to the honest advice. She had some preset aspirations and views that were really unrealistic
mm-hmm.
to her skill level, which I surmised from our discussion. But she was very resistant because she had this vision, and it's great to have a vision. It's what keeps us going. But if we haven't got the practical skills to get to that vision, it's a little bit of hot air, isn't it?
Yeah. I would turn them away. That's what I would do. I think that's what we have to do. Right. And trust me, I've been in a position where it's like, do I take on this project where I don't feel like it's going to work, but I also need to keep the lights on? And I've had to make the hard decision. Right. There are good people that are out there. And in the end, when it doesn't work out, do you think they're going to say, oh, it was my fault? Of course not. They're going to blame you. They're going to blame Jonathan. That's what happens every single time. Right. So we have to have the courage to be able to say no. And I think from marketing ourselves, right, we got to get better at explaining what's the benefit of what we do and also who we work with and who we don't.
So to recap before I throw it over to Kurt, or we might go for our half break, actually. We'll probably go for our half break. But to recap, I think what you're saying is there's two things from this end question is, you know, really find a niche. Try stopping being a generalist. Really concentrate on end result and be in a position where you can turn away some clients that really aren't a good fit because it will have consequences. Is that a good synopsis?
I would say the first one that I mentioned was having the end goal in mind of selling the business, right? And recognize that you're going to sell a business that, or you're building a business that can sell. The second one is picking a niche. The third one is really kind of comes down to just having a great product that gets client results. We focus on that, we'll be fine. Everything else will be easy.
All right. I think it's time for us to go for our mid-break. We've had a great discussion with Chris. I think we've covered some great stuff. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Tired of hosting providers that can't handle high traffic loads? Convessio is here to help. Our platform can handle any amount of traffic, all without slowdown or crashing. With immediate Slack support, performance optimization, and a team that thrives on resolving technical challenges, your e-commerce business is in safe hands. Learn more about Convessio at convessio.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code PODCAST20. That's PODCAST20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. We've had a feast about all the problems of agency ownership and the opportunities. Should be a great second half discussion. Before we go into it, I want to point out, if you're looking for a great WordPress host, a much more partner, a true partner for your projects, why don't you look at what WP Tonic has to offer for the freelancer and the agency owner? We've got some great packages. We got tons of experience of being a specialized boutique hosting provider. You can find more information by going over to wp-tonic.com/partners, wp-tonic.com/partners. Let's build something special together. So back over to you, Kurt.
Well, we kind of go into this topic on a lot of our shows, Chris, and I think it's important thinking about agencies and the use of AI and opportunities. And I think some of us are coming at it and saying AI is going to take all of our jobs or AI is going to steal our opportunities. And other people are saying AI is a birth of opportunity because now we can become the experts in this tool and propagate, you know, fame and fortune. What do you think are some of the most significant opportunities in an agency with AI from your perspective?
Yeah, I mean, if you're saying that anything is going to take your job or AI is going to take your job, you're a fool because it wasn't your job to begin with, right? We earn our place, at least in a capitalistic society, which I am a huge advocate of. We earn our place, right? You earn your spot on the team. So nobody's taking your job. This technology that's coming around, though, is a massive opportunity for us. And it's one of the things that we'll be talking about at my event in San Diego in December. Is the how we can leverage AI to be more efficient. So like me being kind of like an operations, systems and processes type of brain, like I love efficiency. Like I'm obsessed with efficiency. I want to figure out how can we get this thing done faster, but without compromising on the quality and without increasing cost, right? And so like these tools that are now really coming of age are going to change the game. One thing specifically, and we'll absolutely be talking about this at my event, AI cold calling. We're using it right now with phenomenal success. You guys, it's going to become so good that you won't be able to tell the difference that it's a person or an AI. I'm telling you.
I have that effect on customers already, Chris.
Exactly.
But you're going to have clones of Jonathan just running around.
That would be a real nightmare, Chris. That's something I would not want on society at all.
There's a Star Wars show coming. Come on. Revenge of the Jonathans. So what I was going to say is this technology here, it's a massive opportunity, especially for those that jump in early. This AI cold calling that we're doing right now that I'm using for myself and that my clients are using, this will become the standard within the next year. I promise you that, right? The technology is just going to get better. And it not just for us.
Chris, how can you live with your conscience, Chris?
Why is that?
Yeah. AI cold calling, Chris. It only is really effective. You've just made my blood go. It's my English humor, Chris.
I know. I like it.
I don't get offended. Kirk's got used to it.
Like, yeah, so let's look at it this way. Actually, here's a very practical application, right? So like when we do lead generation for a client, we're booking appointments for them. What's the biggest mistake that those clients make? If I book an appointment for them, what's the biggest mistake that they make?
I've just gone blank, actually, Chris.
They don't call the prospect back. They don't call them back fast enough. The speed to calling them back, they take too long, right? All the data shows you got to call them back within like 30 seconds or something like that, right? They're not calling them. And then they say these leads suck. And they point the finger back at you and you suck and you're a scammer just like the rest of them. And then they cancel, right? That's what happens. So, and I get it, right? Especially if it's a smaller business and maybe they don't have a dedicated sales team that can be on the phone calling people like immediately as soon as they fill out the form or whatever. But now we can use this, like right now, we can use this technology. Form fill comes in, right? The call goes out immediately to that prospect and says, hey, Jonathan, thanks so much for filling out the form. How are you doing today? And you have no idea that's an AI. You're like, everything's going well. You'll probably figure it out after a couple of sentences, but then there'll be instances where you're like, Now I'm not sure that this is a robot, right? And what happens is that the call gets booked and our lead conversion goes up and our cost per lead goes down, right? This is very beneficial for that small business owner, right? So now you don't have to have a $10,000 a month sales team to be able to book these calls, right? Think about how that's empowering the little guy. Like, I'm very much about empowering the little guy because I'm the little guy, you know? I'm not supposed to be here, right? So these tools, to me, this is our ability to fight against the evil empire, right? Gives us the upper hand if we're brave enough to adopt the new technology.
You dealt with my English humor really well, and you're still making my blood go cold, though, Chris. But bless you.
That's what I'm here for. It's my California.
Yeah, bless you, little
optimism.
Let's talk about offshoring, because I, especially in the WordPress, freelance agency, there's a contradictory feeling. There's a lot of people domestic that really resent offshore agencies. WP Tonic.
Totally okay.
WP Tonic is a hybrid. I have some people offshore and I have some people. Most of subcontractors, I haven't got anybody that actually works for me full time. They're all subcontractors. I've chosen that route. Mm-hmm. But there's a mixed feeling. But I've had a hybrid for the past 8 years, mm-hmm. and there's a definite skill to it. I have another podcast where I have another partner who runs a larger agency than me, and he has a very large, reasonably large team. I think it's between 15 to 20 people in the Philippines. Mm-hmm. And it's taken him years to build that team. I think there's definitely a skill base in managing and growing agency with offshore teams. What are some of the, so I think you're a great person to get some more insight about this because you've got a ton of experience. Yeah. What do you think agency owners, I've got some thoughts about this, but what are some of the biggest misconceptions that agency owners have around offshore staff and the management of them, Chris, based on your extensive experience?
Yeah, no, I'm glad you point that out because I've hired people all across the world, hundreds and hundreds of people in Latin America specifically. We just found that was the best for us because of the time zone.
Yeah.
Right. So I think the biggest misconception kind of came from this stupid term called virtual assistant, where somebody created this term called virtual assistant. They made it seem like it was this magical human being that can just do anything, right? You need them to do copy and design and make the coffee.
Well, I think that comes from a certain guy that wrote the 4-hour week or something. That was yeah. Wasn't that one of his...
What does that guy even do? You know, like, I've never met him before. I'd love to have a conversation with him. But yes, it was this term that was just created. And then people foolishly assigned that. And she's like, I'm going to send that to my VA. And it doesn't really work like that, right? So like, just like in the United States, right? You have people that are good at certain things and you hire them for a specific role and they're not good at other things and you wouldn't hire them for that other role. So you do need to make sure first that what you need done aligns with that person's skill sets. It seems pretty basic, but I have to say that first. So once you've found somebody that has the right technical ability, right? If they're going to build websites, get a web developer. If they're a designer, have a designer, right? If they're a ads person, make sure they have experience with ads, Google ads, Meta ads, whatever it is, make sure that they have the experience, okay? You give tests for that. Second thing, and this is the most important thing, is the soft skills, right? Like, are they a good culture fit for your company? One of the things that I will say, and this will piss somebody off, there are certain cultures around the world that does not value being on time, okay? It just doesn't. It's just not important to them. They don't grow up learning that. For me, I'm a stickler for being on time. Like, you better be on time. And you better hit deadlines, because I know that my clients, at least here in the United States, they're waiting on us to hit a deadline. They can ignore you all week long. But if you say, hey, this is going to be ready at 3 o'clock on Friday, guess what? 2:54, they're refreshing their inbox, waiting for that thing to come through, right? So for us to hit deadlines, guess what? We got to have other people that hit deadlines. And so when you're hiring overseas, you absolutely need to check for those soft skills. I don't want to say more so than in the US, but the standard is the same. I hold everybody to the same exact standard, regardless of where they live. We're in an age where we have access to everybody. Like, I can show you how to go out and hire people anywhere in the whole entire world. It's very, very easy, right? We have to find the right people. And I think that most marketing agencies, I get it. You're overworked. You're tired. You don't have time to sort through 100 resumes to find one good person. It's just the way that it is, though, because what's the consequence, right? I use this example of Google's hiring process. I don't know if you know anybody who's worked for Google before or their hiring process. This is at least 2 months long.
I've got a couple of people.
Yeah. Okay. It's 2 months long. They go through, they have like 160,000 employees globally, right? Their hiring process is so stringent, and they have 160,000 employees. If they hire one bad person, it's not going to make or break them, right? But then Mr. or Miss agency owner, who's got 10 employees, they're like, resume looks good. Interview, they seem somebody cool, like that I would want to have a beer with. Let's give them a shot, right? That person can kill your business. Small business owners should be more diligent about their hiring than the bigger guys, but we're not, right? And that's a problem, right? Hiring overseas can be massively helpful. It can be like help you save so much money. You can still find amazing people. I personally believe that there's amazing people all across the globe, right? And now with our technology and just how easy it is to connect, we can find people that have the skill sets that fit within our budget. It's amazing, right? But if you screw it up, it can be absolutely detrimental. It can put you out of business. All right. So you do have to take it seriously.
You got any insights about, the hiring process then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll give you my 7-step hiring process is pretty quick. So first part of the hiring process is the actual resume, right? So actually, I should say the job post. So in the job post, I always put in a little test, send me your resume as a PDF. Include a cover letter and put it in a Word document. Put this as the subject of the email, right? Simple test, just checking attention to detail. Keep in mind that the best that anybody is ever going to perform in a job is in the interview process. It's the best you're ever going to get them. So if they screw that up, guess what? If you hire them, it's going to be 10 times worse. So your hiring process is designed to exclude people, right? We're not trying to prove that little Johnny is amazing and he needs to work with me. No, it's Johnny's proving that he's good enough to be on our team, right? It's very cutthroat. Then after that, they send in the resume. If we like them, we'll send them a questionnaire. They got to respond. For me, it's within 48 hours. Now, when I graduated from college and I had zero job opportunities, guess what? I was looking for a job right away because I had to put food in my mouth, right? And side note, I went through every Fortune 500 company and I applied to every single job that I could find, right? That's what it took. And if they emailed me and said, hey, we're interested, I emailed back immediately. I ended up getting hired from number like 267, right? And so if somebody doesn't reply to my questionnaire asking them for information about their work experience and show me some examples of your work, they don't reply within 48 hours, to me, they're gone. It means they don't want a job, right? I want people who are ambitious, who want to be here, right? If they pass that, we take them to a phone interview, just quick 15 minutes. We want to get sense for how they speak. Do they show up on time? Very much looking at the soft skills. Then it goes to, usually we have two technical tests. We use a service called Test Dome. I highly recommend that you check it out. I do not own that company. They're just a good product. Testdome.com. You can create a standardized test, evaluate pretty much anything. They pass that. Then we move them on to an actual test where, like, let's just say it's a web developer. We'll give them a website that they need to build. I do not pay for those tests, by the way, or I do not pay them for their time when building out that sample project. It's not a live project, right? They pass that, then we'll send them a personality test. We use a psychometric exam, make sure that their skill sets align with what we're looking for in the person. They pass that, it goes to the final round of interviews, and usually it's 3 to 4 people. Each person has a standard list of questions that they're asking. One of the most important things that you need to do is a core values test. And so you ask them, like, let's just say one of your core values is going the extra mile for your clients. You have to ask them a specific question and say, hey, Kurt, when's the last time in a work setting? Tell me about the last time in a work setting where you went the extra mile for a client, right? And you want to hear what they have to say. If they're bullshitting you, they will make it up or it'll be very, very vague. But if they're telling the truth, they will give you a specific answer, right? That's what we're looking for. Most of the time, they will pass that final round of interviews. But if anybody on the team that's doing the interview says, hey, there's something not right, we'll discuss it, and then we'll exclude that person. That whole funnel takes about 2 weeks. It works very, very well.
Yeah, I'd imagine it does, actually. But these are people that you're employing directly. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, you can hire them as independent contractors. Yeah, that's typically who I only like to hire. Yeah.
I've adapted some of your morphologies. I used to be a little, I've got to be true, I found people that have been recommended to me. Mm-hmm. I took on a couple. The graphic designer worked for me for 6 years. She was based in Indonesia. She was fabulous. And the developer still works for me. But I took on another agency. These people had been working for her for about 5 years. And she just one day decided she didn't want to run an agency. And she gave them no notice. And she said, well, can you take over them? And I did. And yep. they were excellent. I'll give her a due. She was merciless. I tend to make excuses for people, Chris.
Yeah, that's normal. You're a nice guy.
Oh, am I? Fancy.
That's not really sweetheart face.
Yeah, thank you. That kind of stuff won't get anywhere with me. It's just that, I've stopped making excuses. I give them so much slack and then I just get rid of them. Because I've lost all patience with excuses. Mm-hmm. Because I think it's a bit like what you said, your clients have no time for your excuses, do they?
Yeah, exactly. We've got results to get for the clients. We owe it to them. Yeah.
But I've adopted some of your, because I think you're totally spot on. I've noticed with, if you're being recommended to you from other people, it's normally better. But if you're just going on a general freelancer platform, it's a bit like if you're going on dating. I would say 80% of the people on these platforms are junk. There's some really great people, but and most of them won't follow any instructions and they have got nothing really to show you.
Yep.
And they're totally vague about what they did anyway. So I think you're spot on, Chris. I'll give you that. You are spot on. Back over to you, Kurt.
Well, I kind of want to drive it back to close the AI kind of questions, because we talked about, does AI take your job or not take your job? But Chris, in the grand scheme of your business, and I'm not thinking of you as like agency now. I'm thinking it was like a guy that helps other agencies, right? That's the way I'm picturing it.
I still own a couple agencies. Actually, I just recently took equity in a few agencies. We're taking more equity. So it's more fun for me to have that, my hands really deep in the business.
Well, where do you sit with your AI toolbox? What are some of the prime tools that help you get through your day?
Well, some of them I'm not going to talk about because we're still keeping those in the secret toolbox. So it's this. I'm sorry, guys. This is just part of the time period where.
I like you, Chris, but now I'm going off you.
That's fine.
Well, I'm sure you will.
There's certain things that it's so early that it gives us a massive competitive advantage. But the one that I like the most is still ChatGPT. Most people don't tap into how much ChatGPT can do for you. Now, the thing that I don't like is that we're pushing all of our answers back into the universe with ChatGPT. So we're looking at some tools right now so that I can truly clone myself and it's not going to go out into the universe.
What could go wrong, Chris?
Yeah. I mean, I, I, I don't necessarily know that all of my thoughts need to be pushed into the universe, because I don't know if that's going to benefit humanity at all.
I'm sure none of my thoughts would benefit community.
But honestly, ChatGPT, like the way that you look at AI, in my opinion, because I'm a big Star Wars fan, and I love C-3PO. I love the idea of having my own C-3PO, right? And if you guys, I don't know if you guys watch Star Wars or not, but, right? C-3PO and R2-D2, they could run all the computations of the computer to make sure that we don't hit a star, right, as we're flying through space. There's some of these little tasks that we can use. So, like, a perfect example, meetings. So, I love Read. That's the one that I use to record all of my meetings, right? So, after we do a client meeting, we will take that transcription out of Read. And these tools, they have, like, a meeting summary, but they're kind of crappy. We'll take the transcription out of Read. We pop it into ChatGPT, and I have some specific prompts. I say, this is a meeting that I did with Jimmy from whatever agency. I want you to go through and give me a meeting summary outlining everything that happened in the meeting. And I want you to outline the specific to-dos that Jimmy agreed to do and that I agreed to do, including the deadlines, right? I upload that in. It creates this meeting summary. I take that and I pop it into my Freshdesk. And we're working on an integration straight into Freshdesk right now, right? Freshdesk is our ticketing software. Now there's a record of that meeting, right? I still have the transcription and the video if I need to go back. But that gets popped into Freshdesk, and now we can create to-dos and deadlines and all this stuff. And it happens within minutes, right? Before, I would personally have to remember what we talked about. First of all, I would take notes on my notepad. I would take notes. I would write down all the things that I had to do that I had to sit down on the computer and I have to remember. What did Jimmy say? Right? And then I typed it up. And then I'm like, oh, no. I think I said this. Wait, did I say that? Let me go back to the recording, right? It would take like 30 minutes. And now I can get that done in like 5 minutes or less, right? So when we look at efficiency, did the quality of that process improve? Well, absolutely. Now it's way better, right? What about the speed? Well, now I can do it in a sixth of the time, right? My quality of life goes up. The experience for the client also improves. Our value that we bring to the client improves. My capacity to handle more clients also improves as well. So that's just one simple thing that we learn. If you're not doing that, I'm guessing that most of you are having meetings with your clients. It's the simplest thing that you could do right now. Record the calls, upload the transcription, use that prompt that I gave you, create the meeting summaries, put it in your project management system or your ticketing system. You will absolutely improve the experience for your clients and you'll make more money. Mic drop.
Yeah, I'm seeing all the parallels in the different markets that I tend to dance around in. Like, Chris, for instance, I work with automotive, motorcycle, and marine dealerships in a lot of different levels. And so when you were talking about the cold calling in response to a trigger, I immediately thought of business development centers, what they call the BDC in that industry, right? And you click on any car ad immediately, your email goes, your text goes, your phone rings. Come on down to the dealership, take a look at it now, blah, blah. And this thing's setting you up for an appointment to meet a salesman, but it's probably not a real person, right?
Yeah.
So it's doing its thing. So I'm like, okay, I definitely see where that works. I was looking to possibly sell a Volkswagen GTI a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And man, they hunted me down like I was a wild animal in the woods, man. They wanted that car, you know, during the pandemic. Everybody was after me. And every tool you could think of was working. And as an agency owner, I wasn't evading the calls because it was an annoyance. I was trying to reverse engineer what the heck was going on.
Right.
And is it useful to me? Right. So I was thinking of that use case. When you were talking about other things just now with ChatGPT, I thought about the work I do in the marine industry. They have their own AI with the Marine Retailers Association. They call AIMEE, and it doesn't go out to the whole internet. It only researches or gives you answers based on a like restricted bandwidth of marine information, right? And it's like, okay, so that's that use case. And I again try to reverse engineer that thought, right? So if the riches are in the niches and I niche that down and I craft an AI tool in a certain realm, then we're in that market. And so I think the conversation we're having today has really opened up a couple of extra doors in the brain.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is, I don't want to say it's the Wild West because there's kind of like a negative association with that, but the opportunities are massive, right? Like, and I'm not really like, I don't get excited about tech very easily, because to me, most of it is smoke and mirrors or BS or hype. But this is legitimately going to change the way that we function as human beings, right? And so like, we should just get on board with this.
I'll give you a tip back, actually, Chris. I was using Freshdesk and it's great, but it was getting really quite expensive. And then I moved to Fluent Support. It's a WordPress plugin.
Nice.
And we've got it on a subdomain with its own server. And it saved me a ton of money. And it does exactly what Fluent Freshdesk does. So that's Fluent Support. Have a look at it, because I think it saved you a ton of money, Chris.
I love saving money.
Yeah, you've got to keep. Let's go to the final question.
Sure.
And if you're up to it, we might have some bonus content, but if you need to disappear at the hour, I totally understand.
Let me see. I think I left a good buffer for you guys.
Kirk has to go before the hour because he's got something else he's got to do. But my final official question is, like, I'm from England. I'm into Doctor Who and the TARDIS, the time machine. I'm into my H.G. Wells, the time machine as well. So if you had your own time machine and you could go back to the beginning of your career, is there one or two little tips that you would like to give yourself?
To my career? That's a tough one.
Or anything, Chris.
Oh, anything. I mean, talk to my dad before he dies. That's for sure. You know, because he died so soon. Yeah. Within a month, he was dead and gone. And I was, you know, he died 3 days before I turned 27. So when you're a man, you know, or a young man that age, you're just starting to come, you know, into your own. I was kind of excelling in my career, and I was starting to connect with my dad on a different level. And then he was gone, you know. So this year, this January 10th, it'll be 18 years. So that's what I would absolutely go back and do that over again. I would tell me as a kid to not be so stupid, and that everything's going to be, everything's going to be okay. Right. Professionally, I would say, don't start that soccer magazine. You're an idiot. But at the same time, you know, all these failures that I've had, like, I wouldn't be where I'm at today had I not had that.
Yeah, well, that's
a negative experience.
That's the,
you know, and this is one of the things that I learned when I had that failure of a soccer magazine, is you really do get to see who your friends are, right? Because, like, take, you know, this is the time period. It's like 2009, basically. I'd lost all my money, right? I had less than $40 in the bank. I had nobody to turn to. I was a miserable piece of shit to be around because I was just so angry all the time. All right. I don't hope I'm allowed to curse on the show.
I've been pretty clean for about 6 months, but I have the Kirk will say I just have these shows where I curse like a sailor. I don't know what triggers it, actually, Chris, but I don't normally curse, and then I have these episodes, don't I, Kirk?
Where at times.
So I was miserable at that time, right? Nobody wanted to be around me, and then I had these people that were supposed to be my friends. I thought that they were my friends. And, you know, I don't blame them for leaving because I was very, very difficult to be around. And that's on me, right? But it is surprising to see who's going to be there in your darkest times and who's not. And it surprises you, right? And I'm thankful for that because I got to realize at age 29 what really matters, right? All those things that people say about you, all the fancy stuff and being in the limelight or the cool kids and whatever, you know, like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, right? Yeah.
So we're going to have some bonus content, folks. You'll be able to watch the whole of the podcast plus the bonus content on the WP Tonic YouTube channel. But we're going to wrap up the podcast part of the show. So, Chris, what's the best way for people to find out about you? And maybe you want to quickly give some info about this conference you mentioned that you are holding in December.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can go to our website, bloompartners.io. That's our website. We always, our podcast is up there. We always have at least three articles that go up every single day. You can jump on our newsletter. But the biggest way, if you are looking at your 2024 and you're saying one of two things, this did not go the way that I had planned, or this went amazingly well and I'm a little bit scared for how I'm going to deal with that in 2025, come to our event. It's called Agency Freedom Live. It's December 5th through the 7th, so about 3 weeks away. And we're going to map out exactly how you're going to go from maybe not having the best year in 2024 to making it the best year of your life. We're going to talk about strategic planning. We're going to go through budgeting. We're going to go through team. We've got speakers that are coming in. My friend Corey's come in and he worked at Scorpion. He's going to talk about how he took them from $10 million to $120 million in revenue, teach you about how to build out your sales team. We're going to be talking about AI. We're talking about hiring and training and scaling your people. My friend Ralph Burns, who runs an agency called Tier 11, he's going to be talking about how he's done built his own team and his own multimillion-dollar agency. So it's going to be an amazing event. You can go to agencyfreedomlive.com and grab one of those final tickets that we have. I'd love to see you and meet you face-to-face. Of course, we're going to have a lot of fun too.
You'll find all the links to everything Chris says in the show notes that will be up at the beginning of next week on the WP Tonic website, folks. Kirk, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and your ideas and what you're up to?
Yeah, when it comes to business, Mañana No Más is the website, mananonomas.com. And if you want to, you know, connect personally, the best place to find me is on LinkedIn. I say it all the time. I'm the only Kurt Von Onen on LinkedIn. So when you find me, you know you got the right guy.
Like I say, we're going to continue the discussion. I'm going to be asking Chris about how you get your agency ready for sale and a couple of other things. And you'll be able to see all the interview plus the bonus content, like I say, on the WP Tonic website. We will be back next week, probably for our final show. I'm getting confused. We have got some more shows coming up, but we are going to have a break in December. We will be back soon. See you soon, folks. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.